This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogstill. The correspondence between Leah and Esther continues. December the 10th. Dear Leah, I enjoyed our phone call. Shame it was so short. Best present ever. It's snowing. Just not enough for practical jokes. It's fun putting snow in your friends' beds, and then everybody figures out who tricked who. William and John helped Mary and Lydia bring snow into Mother's room one day. She wasn't pleased, and we were all punished because we wouldn't tell on one another. Our punishment was being on kitchen duty for 2 weeks. I've never heard Hannah complain more. She hated scrubbing pots and pans, peeling vegetables, or anything else we were told to do. More girls than usual are staying for Christmas. Why, I don't know. The older ones wonder if they'll still receive presents. Yes, Catherine said. You'd know that, wouldn't you? Your family never wants you home for Christmas, Anna taunted. Anna, it's not her fault her family is poor, Julia replied. We couldn't say anything in the halls, but luckily Mrs. Blake heard. Anna, apologize immediately. What class do you have next? She informed Anna she would have to explain to that teacher why she was late. Catherine tried not to let the girls' comments bother her. My parents just can't see me all the time, she whispered sadly. Only in the summer. Meanwhile, our rabbits are huge. Yes, one or both will be eaten, most likely for Christmas. Most weekends, we're spending more time in the kitchen, doing everything from washing dishes to baking bread. There's less complaining from everyone. Can we make Christmas cookies? Catherine begged. We can send them home. We'll see, Miss Lee laughed. They would make a lovely present. We're preparing for Christmas. This year, we're decorating our dormitories with strings of dried berries. Ours are red, and the older girls have blue. Mary wanted a tree, but Kathleen pointed out why. It wouldn't be complete without decorations. The 12th. The German-Soviet battle in Stalingrad seems endless. Germany's waiting for an additional army. In Libya, the fighting continues. With a few days till Christmas, most of the Axis forces have evacuated. In North Africa, the U.S. captured German prisoners. However, the German armies have taken back land that the U.S. and UK armies had taken the day before. We finally finished Little Women. I won't tell you the ending. We were all crying tears of joy and sadness. It's snowing again, but like I said, no practical jokes. Not on Mother Anderson. She didn't say we couldn't do anything to anyone else. Christmas night. Will this war ever stop? Operation Uranus still isn't going well for the Germans. They're still waiting for an additional army. That's a relief, I guess. Catherine got a new coat and gloves for Christmas. Handmade, of course. Amy was excited when she opened her socks. And Mary now has two cardigans. Kathleen's mom sent all of us hair ribbons. Christmas dinner was, of course, rabbit pie. Mrs. Porter commented, "She's running out of rabbit recipes." Since we use berries for decorating the pudding, the jam tarts with mock cream on top. Mrs. Porter couldn't find honey. It's just butter and sugar, but it tastes good. Even Hannah didn't complain about our meal, only remarking, "Our gamekeeper's gone. His assistant took over, which means less meat for us. He's a terrible hunter." Thanks for the scarf. It's lovely. Mother says it matches my coat. As usual, your present and this letter should arrive in the next year. To round out the day, we gathered around the radio to hear the King's Christmas broadcast. This year, he spoke about America's and our allies' help. The King and the Queen are proud that so many people have taken up their duties in order to help in the factory or on land. I'll end with Merry Christmas, Esther. A Group of White Flowers, 1943. Monday, January the 11th. Dear Esther, it sounds like your Christmas dinner was delicious. I'm jealous. Even if it's a disgusting rabbit, it would be an improvement over ours. We had vegetable stew with apple pie. I suppose I should be grateful Mom didn't serve non-kosher food. I know, I should stop complaining. Our presents were still practical. Material for dresses and one orange apiece. I'm making mine last as long as possible. Like you, we listened to the King. Thanks so much for the bracelet and the necklace. Mom thought they were ugly, but what does she know? "They're from my sister," I said through clenched teeth. "It might be plain beadwork, but there's a war on." Jane entered then, needing her help with something. In school, one boy shared a story about his brother, who's in Stalingrad. The boy told us that the Germans aren't exactly winning either. I suppose they couldn't survive the cold winter. And in Leningrad, the Soviets broke through the Germans. That's some good news. Our regular dinners are bland, just vegetable soup or spam. Breakfast is porridge, sausage, or toast. Once, Mom found disgusting bacon. We've experimented with the dried egg. Horrible. Mom thinks she'll use it the next time she bakes. Hopefully it won't taste as awful in a cake. It's the 17th, and Japanese troops are preparing to leave Guadalcanal. I bet the Americans are anxious to return home. Someone else has a relative in Tunisia. The Germans crushed the French there. Lydia's sister needs to be more cautious. There's a girl in town who's seeing an American boy, and her parents aren't thrilled. Not sure why, since they're helping us. How long before Lydia's parents find out, do you think? Nora's sister wrote about setting up another tent hospital, still in North Africa. Quote, makeshift equipment was used because the equipment they'd been waiting for was gone. Bridget interrupted. I know. My sister was on the hospital ship that sank. We gasped. She described how the ship was hit, then began to sink. The nurses and troops were pulled onto lifeboats. My sister was one of the fortunate ones. Many nurses and wounded were stuck on the ship as it went down. A passing ship picked up the survivors. Nora continued her story. Some American wounded are frightened when they hear guns and dash to the woods. At last, it's the 31st, and all German generals in Stalingrad have surrendered. And in Tunisia, the French were defeated. Will our troops return home? Well, Mom used the dried egg and cookies she baked. They were delicious. Try to meet at different times when you and William speak. Ask him what the resistance is doing. Maybe Mama and Papa are involved. It's better than believing they could be dead. It's February 2nd, and the German armies finally left Stalingrad. And the Japanese have left Guadalcanal, too. It's really chilly. My attic is as cold as always. Somehow, I'm finding extra blankets outside my door. I'm pretty sure they're Sarah's. I have four now, which I keep in my suitcase. These last couple of weeks have been action-packed. First in Tunisia, the Germans captured Americans. They fought but lost tanks. On the 16th and back in Kharkov, the Soviets reclaimed the city. On the 25th, after days of fighting in Tunisia, the Italians and Germans defeated the Americans. Windy March and walking to school, Sarah and I talked about some of the girls and their bows. But we still haven't found ones we like for ourselves. Jane might like someone, but nothing definite yet. She heard us talking and informed us. You know when I've decided, so stop talking about me. Informed means letting someone know something. Eva and Daniel are relieved. No taunts from Andrew. The battle in Tunisia continues, and Germans are still fighting. Kharkov continues to switch from Germany to the Soviet Union's control and back again. The 14th now, and Germany has control. Charlotte's snake disaster hasn't occurred again, thank goodness. We laugh about it now, but we're not supposed to encourage her. Still, she misbehaves in other ways. Last week, Miss Simmons sniffed the air. What's that awful smell? She demanded. Of course, we all turned to Charlotte. I don't know, miss, she said innocently. Ask the boys. Miss wasn't fooled, but decided to play along. The boys denied knowing anything. Daniel helped Miss search the room, and they found the source of the smell. A dead mouse. She calmly threw it out, made Charlotte scrub the floor, then continued with our lessons. Charlotte missed recess and was assigned extra math. In addition to her regular homework to be completed by Monday, she whined, but Agnes invited me to her party on Saturday. Miss told her she should have thought of that before she played her practical joke. When her parents came, they were told, and they promised to punish her again. Finally, British troops in Tunisia broke through the German line. Then, New Zealand and Indian troops came in to help the British. But the Germans took back some territory they had. Indian troops made it over the German line, though. I finally went inside the Evans's house. I brought them extra food. When I knocked, there was no answer. I peered in a window, but only saw darkness. I was about to give up and just leave the food on the porch when the door slowly creaked open a few inches. Yes? One of her daughters asked. Who's there? I could barely see her face in the gap. Leah, your neighbor. We'll see you in church. My mom has food for you, I said. Silence. Was I going to have to stand there all day, I wondered. The door closed quickly. Sighing with exasperation, I set the basket down. I decided to look around before leaving. Moving carefully, I edged around the side of the house. All the windows were closed. No lights were on. I saw an outhouse with a partially completed roof. I shivered, imagining the sweltering summers and the freezing winters spent out there. Leah, come here now. The girl motioned me to come into the house. Surprised, I did. I stepped into a small room without a carpet, just wood. The walls were stained, not sure from what. The windows I could see were covered like I thought they were. Put it there, she pointed to a chair. I jumped when a man's voice called, "Now, Lily, get that German girl out." Lily grabbed my shoulder and practically threw me out, slamming the door behind her. "There's no garden," I announced at dinner. "I did hear Mr. Evans, though." I had everyone's attention now. Sarah and Mum had forks halfway to their mouths. Dad and Jane stared. He shouted at me to leave. "But she took the food." Mum leaned forward. I nodded. "How wonderful," Mum said and smiled. Then she frowned. "Will they eat it?" she asked Dad. "Dear, she won't starve them. They may be poor, but even she has to accept help sometimes," Dad said as his teacup rattled in its saucer. "I'm surprised I even made it inside," I admitted. "I thought Lily was going to tell me to leave it outside." "Where was their mother?" Mum collected dirty plates. I said I only saw Lily. "Well, you still have dishes, and make sure you don't miss anything," Mum ordered. It's the last week in March, and the Tunisian fighting is still strong. The British pushed through the German march line, but German soldiers tried to prevent them. The line runs from east to west, through northern Tunisia. The British family made it over the line, and Axis troops were evacuated and went to Wadi Akarit. We're growing extra potatoes, so Dad is seriously considered hiring land girls again. Hopefully, they're better than the previous ones. Lengthy letter, but a lot happened. Leah. P.S. On to our song. Because I serve strange gods and drank poisonous wine. April the 9th. Dear Leah, sounds like you had a hard Christmas. You'd think your mum would be more understanding about that jewelry. Nobody has much money, after all. We make do with what we have, even if it's just beads and thread. Those were my cookies. I can't believe your mother did that. Well, I can. I just didn't think she would. I never would have sent them. It's the 18th. The U.S. shot down the Japanese Navy bomber aircraft responsible for their Pearl Harbor attack. Miss Price explained that a bomber is an aircraft that's made to drop bombs. We're reading The Secret Garden now. It's hilarious whenever Mother reads the funny English called Yorkshire English. The character Mary reminds me of Hannah. She had an ayah at the beginning of the story. An ayah is an Indian nurse. There's a mystery in this one, but I won't spoil it for you. Can't you borrow books from your neighbors? Like every subject, typing's more difficult. We're typing out arithmetic problems. Kathleen groaned. I thought the slate was difficult. Once, my ink ran out. I had to redo the whole assignment. Christmas wasn't so pleasant for Lydia either. Edith's in the family way, preparing to have a baby. Now her parents know about her American beau. He says he wants to marry her and they'll live in America with his family. Edith cried when she told them, and their mom shouted. Thankfully, their little sister was with a friend. Rainy this week, so exercising with the older girls like before. Julia continues to help us when she can, teaching Amy or Hannah how to dance on their toes. We can do ballet like my sister, Hannah exclaimed. Classes are more difficult this year. We're finally working with the sewing machine and playing more difficult pieces in music class. Mrs. Blake plays a piece and we write the notes. The longer the piece, the more notes to remember and write. Mrs. Davis is still teaching us the difficult way to write Braille. It's faster, just like shorthand. Numbers are still written the same, and now we've learned there's a multiplication sign, too. In geography, Miss Price is teaching us about India. She said there's a famine in Bengal, one of the provinces, big cities. I asked her if there was anything we could do to help, and she answered, "Nothing. They'll survive somehow." When we talked, this time before our evening walk, William advised me not to get my hopes up about finding our parents. He's anxious about some of his Jewish neighbors, but it's like they've vanished. All he knows is Jews are being taken to other places. Who knows where? I really had to hurry back, and luckily only Lydia noticed I was gone. "Where did you go?" she asked. "Looking for something I lost in the music room," I replied. "Really, Esther? I don't believe you." "There you are," Mother entered, saying, "Esther, we're about to leave. It's actually a pleasant evening. Hurry." "She was in the music room," Lydia added. I wonder how long I can keep our meetings a secret. We did our normal routine that night. Still, I wondered why Lydia didn't believe me. Mary and Catherine are looking forward to the summer. They're visiting Hannah. "Mom and Dad are sending our car," Hannah announced. "Arthur is our chauffeur." It's my turn, yet scarcely had I gone into exile. Exile forcing someone to flee their country. Sound familiar? Your worried sister, Esther. May the 11th. Dear Esther, here we are, very rainy. A German plane has bombed an English ship, and 799 people are dead. Gloomy news to match gloomy days. Hannah shouldn't brag about her family like that. Some girls are terrible. Let me know what happens with their summers. Lydia's too. It continues to pour, so we're inside most of the time. At recess, we've heard endless nurse stories from Nora. The hardest part is to get the wounded fit for travel. As soon as they're well, it's off to a base hospital. There, the patients receive better treatment and surgery. The beds fill quickly. Sometimes the overflow of patients sleep on the floor. The Americans invite the QAs to dances on their nights off. They swim in a nearby beach and take walks. I had doubts about that one. With so much socializing, who was tending to the patients? Nora made it sound like they were on holiday. She also described how their tents become a sticky mess because of the rain. Everyone's in tents, but they leak. They now wear trousers and boots instead of capes and dresses. I thought the rain in England was awful. When I go to the barn, my shoes fill with water. School is bearable, with Andrew not taunting as much. Miss is still watchful. May is drawing to a close, but the news has been cheerful. There was victory in Tunisia, and 42 U-boats were sunk. Not good for Germany, but wonderful for the English. Your bored sister, Leah. June 20. Dear Leah, now it's almost summertime. Already, a civilian plane was shot down by the Germans. Tragically, everybody on board died. School's almost over. We finished our book. Good thing, because I thought Kathleen was going to take it with her. Nice ending, Hannah commented. Mother said she'll think about what to read next. Our typing exam was challenging. Mrs. Davis tested our speed and accuracy. 2 pages of English sentences and 2 with arithmetic. I believe we've improved. It's now the 29th, and Germany must be worried about an invasion because they've removed their U-boats from the Atlantic. This summer, I'm with Amy. I'm not sure if I told you, but her family lives in a cottage by the sea, so we swim almost every day. Amy's dad will post this letter for me. Here's more of our song. When Babylon fell and Zerubbabel took charge. Best wishes, Esther. July 15. Dear Esther, I can't wait to hear about the rest of your summer by the sea. Just wish I were with you. Perhaps when this war is over, we'll live there. The new land girls are sisters, Dora and Enid. So far, they're hardworking. Dad's given them a trial period. I think that means they work for a while, and then he'll decide whether they'll stay with us. They don't even mind bottling, which is my least favorite house chore. On the eastern front of the Soviet Union, another battle has begun. This one is in Kursk. On the 5th, after being attacked, the Germans fought back with their Luftwaffe, tanks, and artillery. The Soviet army is still stronger, with more tanks and men. And yesterday, in the city of Prokhorovka, Germany was pushed back by the Soviets. After a week of fighting, Germany is now defeated. In Prokhorovka, anyway. I borrowed Sarah's copy of The Secret Garden. Mom and Dad approve of my reading English books. Saturday, Sarah and I went to the woods with friends to escape the heat. We raced, climbed trees, and just talked. Daniel and Eva, being the youngest, wanted us to play hide and seek, so we did. We let them win one game. Sarah offered to walk Eva home, but she wanted to stay with Daniel. I'll tell Mom. So once our English friends left, the rest of us finally spoke in our own language. We don't want to forget our country, even though we can't stand some of our country's people right now. Like the other evacuees, Eva and Daniel are concerned for their families. Like me, Laurent has written to his parents but hasn't received a reply. Helen and I walked Eva home. It was hot outside. Eva said she wished it would rain. The crickets chirped and the moon was out. We passed by Helen's house. The front garden appeared empty. "Hey, girl," a voice taunted, "be careful." Suddenly, a rock came out of nowhere, hitting Eva in the head. She cried as a trickle of blood ran down her cheek. When we looked back, the garden was still deserted. Even the night was silent. No crickets. "I'll carry her," Helen said. I thought I heard a door close. Helen picked Eva up and carried her home. Eva's mother met us at the door. When we explained what occurred, she demanded an answer. "But who threw it?" "I think it was Andrew." Helen looked Eva's mom in the eye when she spoke. "I'm really sorry." She looked ashamed. "It isn't you who should apologize." Eva's dad appeared behind them. "Please come in. There's blood on you." Helen then saw a small spot on her dress. "It's nothing," she said. "I'll be fine." Eva threw her arms around her mom as she was carried inside. We stood there silently, then walked back to Helen's house. "See you," she said, then kicked her gate hard. Looking miserably at each other, we went our separate ways. Unhappy Leah. August 4. Dear Leah, summer was amazing. The sea was warm, the smell of salty air, and the sand beneath our feet was fantastic. Much better than the boat ride over here, remember? Building sandcastles with Amy's sister and brother was funny because a wave would always knock it down just as we put the stick flags on top. Sometimes a seagull would fly near, usually when we were eating. Most days, the neighbor foster kids joined us. They'd never been to the sea before. They lived in a crowded flat with another family. The sister shared something strange on the beach one evening. "We don't want to leave. We like it here better. Our mom writes that she'll come for us when this is over. But we don't want to live with her anymore. The air there smells like rotten garbage," her brother added, holding his nose. "And out here, you can run and run. I like the seagulls and the other creatures out here." They asked about my family. I told them it was my first time away from my parents. In bed, Amy pointed out that it sometimes smells of rotten fish here. We laughed, but then we wondered if they would return to their parents when the time came. "Why must we Jewish evacuees endure unfair treatment from our schoolmates? He's so evil. Why does Andrew hate Eva and nobody else? He hasn't taunted you, has he? He hurt her, and I wouldn't want the same thing to happen to you." Finally, on the 23rd, Kharkov is at last freed by the Soviet army. One day, Amy's dad took us rowing in his boat and taught me how to fish. The smell was awful, but the taste was great when cooked. The water was calm, and the warm sun felt pleasant, not unbearably hot. He told us about his trip while we were rowing. He was at Dunkirk. Amy recalled the trip he'd gone on 3 years previously. "It was cold, but the boats waited on the water for the soldiers. They rowed them out to us, and we rowed to hospital ships. They came back across the channel. We had to keep returning for more. As you know, thousands of men were rescued, but many also died." "How many men rowed their own boats?" I was wondering, because Mother hadn't said. "Not many. The Royal Navy rowed most. We wanted to ask more questions, but we reached the shore, and her mom was calling." "I wish you'd told us then," Amy pouted.
"We didn't want you kids to worry," her dad sighed. "You were too young."
"I was 7, Amy cried. I wonder if Bridget's sister was helping that day. She probably was. Her parents will accompany us on the train to return to school. I wish summer could have lasted longer. Love you always, Esther. September 24. Dear Esther, I'm so jealous. How exciting! Meeting those children, playing in the sea. Well, reading the part about Dunkirk was dreadful, but still. School started. It's much emptier this year. Some of the older kids left to work in factories or hospitals. I saw Helen's family in town, and Helen whispered that Andrew isn't being punished. We don't know if it was him, though, I sighed, but it probably was. He was the only one who would know we'd be coming that way. How's Eva? Before I could answer, Mum called me. Disappointed, we returned to our families without finishing our conversation. In the barn, Sarah asked what Helen had meant. Andrew not punished for what? I scattered hay in a stall while I answered. Something he might have done to Eva. I leaned on the door. We think he threw a rock at her. The garden was empty, though. I stared at the wall. I felt frustrated that nothing could be done. Mum wants you, Leah. Jane came in talking. Sarah, can you milk tonight? No, that's your chore. And don't bribe the land girls either, Sarah replied, hands on hips. I left them to it. Passing Dad, I told him about their argument. Mum wanted me to set the table. Boring. Speaking of chores, the land girls are working out. They like farm work and aren't planning to leave Bowes anytime soon. Sarah, Jane, and I still have our chores to do before and after school. Sometimes Dora swaps, that means trades, with me. And she feeds the chickens, and I do the milking. Enid cleans the animal stalls with Jane. In the evening, it's the same chores as always, except when Mum gives me ironing to do. I like that one. My mind can wander back to memories of our house. Except Jane will interrupt, demanding, "Is that mine? Finish that tonight." I glare, but keep silent. When she bosses me, I feel like the girl in that story with the evil stepsisters. In school, Miss Simmons keeps an eye on Andrew. She found out about the rock-throwing incident and made him apologize in front of everybody. He confessed, but there's still no proof. "You take the word of my sister and a little Jew," he spat. All that week he sulked and wouldn't participate. Now we walk Eva to school and home, just in case. Yesterday we discussed the famine in class. Our morning began with "disgraceful." We were eating breakfast when Dad uttered that word. "Darling, look." He thrust his newspaper at Mum, who just poured more tea. "What is it?" she asked, slightly irritated. "Can't it wait?" She glanced down at the paper anyway. "Those people can manage without our help." She handed it back to Dad. "Next time, don't fuss over nonsense." Sarah and I glanced up, puzzled. Whatever the upset was, we weren't going to find out. In class, Miss answered that question for us. "Did any of your parents see this?" She held up a photo of a line of Indians waiting for food. In Bengal, there are still reports of famine. There was silence. Who cares? A girl mumbled. We're fighting a deadly enemy. Kids murmured in agreement. Not again, I sighed, exasperated. Every time Miss tries teaching about other countries, this happens. For some, this may not be significant, but India's been aiding Britain since this war began, as you know. Without food, the people are at risk of starvation. I asked, can't the English government help? India's part of their empire, after all. I'm not sure, Leah. Britain has an imperial rule over India. What? She wrote the new word on the board. When a country dominates over another by use of military force. She turned back to us. Like we discussed before, India wants independence. Wouldn't you if your country was ruled by another? Silence again. She let that question hang in the air. Not that different from Germany. I wondered if the other evacuees were thinking along those lines. The bell rang, and the silence was broken by clatter. Benches scraped, and kids hurried out the door. Whenever we go anywhere with Enid and Dora, we report back to Mom and Dad. Enid and Dora think it's ridiculous. But after last time, I don't blame Mom for being cautious. Next time could be worse. The last part of this long line, within 70 years, I was saved. Your anxious sister, Leah. October 11. Dear Leah, it's business as usual now that we've returned to school. We're still making bed linens for the hospital. Writing has become an almost daily habit, but we just want this war to end. Some war news. Mr. Blake's plane bombed Hanover. Some planes are missing. She doesn't know if his plane was among them. Back to summer. Mary told us gleefully that Hannah was absolutely splendid. Apparently, Hannah has enough dresses to last for years, and she and her siblings each have their own dressers. The opera was enjoyable. They have their own private box. They talked of dining in restaurants and going shopping. The shop girls were used to Hannah, who still insisted on being dressed by them. Mary and Catherine couldn't believe it. The first time we shopped for dresses, one of the assistants tried to undress me. I told her the only help I needed would be the pinning. When I finished trying on a dress, she remarked, "I didn't know blind people could dress themselves, and thank you for being polite," Mary said. Hannah was rude to all the staff. Catherine whispered on a walk one evening. She pinched her maid when she accidentally missed a button. Lydia's been quiet since returning. She and Mother talk in private sometimes. Mother has been sleeping in our dormitory now to be nearby. Whenever we ask, we're told sharply, "Lydia will explain when she's ready, and we're to leave her be." One day, we were assisting in the kitchen when Lydia burst out, "Do the older girls have to do this work?" She slammed down a pot as she spoke.
Certainly, John replied cheerfully.
I wasn't speaking to you, she snapped.
Enough. Back to work this instant, Mrs. Porter commanded.
Will Lydia be punished, I wondered. She was assigned extra sewing. The hospital requested more pillowcases. That task has become Lydia's.
Sewing's not a punishment, she grumbled.
How long will she continue like this?
Confused, Esther. November 6. Dear Esther, I'm furious with Jane. On our way to school last week, we spotted Italia with one of the Evans children. Both were thinly clothed, walking quickly. Jane managed to sneak up behind them and push the Evans girl into a tree.
Jane, don't!
Sarah and I followed, but Italia and the girl were already fleeing.
Why on earth did you do that?
Sarah rounded on her sister, hands on hips.
Because they were walking past, Jane replied calmly. Now we need to hurry. The bell's about to ring.
It's turning into a busy month for the Germans. First, on the 18th, Britain used their bombers to bomb Berlin. Then 3 days bombing, with ships sinking in the Atlantic. I believe something happened to Lydia's sister. You said she was expecting. Lydia will probably continue to snap at everyone. Your friends seem to enjoy themselves. Good of Catherine and Mary for setting the record straight. Not all blind people are helpless. When I told Mom and Dad about Jane's mischief, Mom responded,
"She wouldn't do that. She knows how I feel."
When Dad asked Sarah, she backed up my story. Jane's punishment is similar to Lydia's. She has extra sewing as well. I'm relieved Dad believed us. Finally, the 22nd and the RAF bombed Berlin again, and 2 more U-boats sank. Love you always, Leah.